cleanup tonight, and then I'm going to do an overall review of, I think, what we, some of the highlights of the budget and everything that we've got worked on. Once again, because we have a wonderful crowd here that wants to participate in the budgeting process with us, we will allow time for public comment. We don't have a sign sheet like we did last night. I will ask the audience to be respectful of everyone's time. If you have a point, make your point. Don't hit on the same things over and over again. You know, if someone gets up and says, you know, one thing, you know, we heard it, we understand. Just like I said, be mindful of everyone's time. That's joined us tonight. And with that, I think if you have any public comment, we can kind of, the microphone's right there by Judge Dodson. You can see it standing up there at the end. And I might just have you kind of start right there and just line up down the wall from there.
Chairman, I'm going to make a motion. If we can keep our comments to 60 seconds or less, just for time constraints.
Got a motion and a second. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Like I said, public comments open. Have any takers? No takers? All right. All right. That'll work. All right. We're going to move on to consideration of the 2026 budgets. Ms. Coates, I'll let you have the motion. You're fine.
I'd like to make a motion to put fund 3006.0120 county recorder's cost on the table for discussion.
Sorry.
All right, we've got a motion in a second. Thank you, Ms. Easton, for joining us again tonight.
You're welcome.
Justices, we were a little over budget on this one. Ms. Easton was able to go back to the drawing board, do the projections, and get us back in line where we needed to be. Can you just maybe give us an overview of, like, how much you cut and where that came from?
I can. I cut a total of $48,822.29. I cut from overtime. Do you want the amounts of each?
No, it's fine. I'm good.
Okay. Overtime, food, computer software and equipment, or computer software maintenance agreement, postage, supplies, buildings purchased, and public records.
Justice, any questions for Ms. Easton, our circuit clerk? All in favor of the motion for the passage of 3006.0120, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Thank you, Ms. Easton.
Thank you.
I'd like to make a motion to put fund 1000.0417 public defender on the table for discussion.
Second.
All right. Mr. Clemens, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Justices, do y'all have any discussion, or Mr. Clemens, do you have anything you want to tell us?
I believe that there are some questions about the confusion I created with the budgets I've submitted.
Okay.
I know that there's some confusing having to do with the Public Defender Investigator Fund, so I think I'd like to just explain that.
Is there anything in the in your county general fund 1000 public defender fund?
Oh, yes, there's quite a bit of confusion there.
All right, let's talk about that one first.
Okay.
Can we talk about that one first?
Sure. Yeah. A year and a half ago or so, the Quorum Court was kind enough to create and fund a full-time public defender position for me due to some extra needs that had arisen. Judge Carnahan came and spoke on in support, and you were kind enough to do that. So I've hired a very good, experienced, youngish lawyer who has been working in that full-time position in Judge Carnahan's court and also covering all of the first appearances in Faulkner County only. It's a Faulkner County position. The court was kind enough to fund that position for me because I didn't have a state position to fill that role. In the last legislative session, the Public Defender Commission got some new money for new positions. The prosecutor coordinator got some new money for new positions as well. Out of that new money, I got two part-time public defender positions. One allocated to the northern two counties and one for here. Since the court funded a full-time position for me because I didn't have a position to fill that role through the state, I thought the decent thing to do was to let this body know that I had a part-time position from the state. I contacted Chairman Kowski and let him know. So I am here to, in part, find out whether the state or the county is going to convert my full-time position back to part-time position and let me hire that part-time position with Mr. Bradley, who's doing the full-time position, and make that position a combination county and state position. Or if the court is going to leave the full-time position and have me hire someone new in a part-time position. So, because of not knowing which direction we're going to, the part-time state position is still floating around out there unfilled. And in the budget that I submitted, I included both continued funding for the full-time position and a funding request for two part-time positions instead of the one part-time position. Now, I'm saying it and it sounds confusing to me. But that's where we are. My budget is that I submitted here is in no way complete for y'all to do anything with because I don't know whether I'm going to have one full-time position, one part-time position that are already staffed, or whether I'm going to have two part-time positions. That's the reason that Fund 1000 budget looks so complicated.
Okay.
And large.
I'm going to ask some obvious questions just because I want to start from like a base thing here. So this, what we see on the screen here, Deputy Public Defender 1101, is that the position we gave you that you were talking about?
The full-time position?
Yes, the full-time position that we
yes.
gave you.
Yes,
so that's
it
the
is.
Full-time position we gave you. You already had the part-time salaries of $42,000 last year, and you've added the part-time salary. You've increased that by $48,000 to be the second part-time salary.
A second. And I asked for my part-time lawyers to get a raise.
So it sounds like the choice for us is to either nix the $75,462.62 or to nix the additional $48,000.
Yes. Oh, that's my request to know what this body wants to do.
Justice, is any thought? Mr. Higgins, you got a comment?
Mr. Chair, I'd just like to note that the COLA is included in this already.
Okay. Yes.
So I guess my question is do you have enough work to have the full-time position and one part-time position? Or if you don't, for, again, Faulkner County, then it might be the prudent thing to go to two part-time salaries. But again, I guess it would be need more explanation. How many hours do they work? You know, what would your preference be based upon the work that they've had or what you expect them to have?
Right now, we are getting everything done with the staff I've got. So the full-time position and the one part-time position, which we've had for quite a while, that's in 5th Division Circuit. The part-time position, again, is strictly district court. district court does all of the first appearances in Faulkner County for both district court and circuit court cases, misdemeanors and felonies. So that role is filled by Scott Bradley, who is currently the full-time county employee. So the part-time employees, lawyers, are expected to work 20 hours a week. Most of them work considerably more than that because when court is going on, it's your court. You've got to be there however long it is. But the goal would be for them to work 20 hours a week. I don't think that really pans out. The circuit court part-time position, you know, it's circuit court. We have jury trials. We have long court days. So sometimes the part-time public defender in 5th Division works quite a bit more than 20 hours a week. The full-time position, you expect a full-time person to work 40 hours a week. On average, I'd say Scott probably does about 40 hours a week, sometimes more, always at least that much. First appearances take place 3 days a week. That answer your question? I'm sorry.
I guess, I guess we're talking about 40 hours, if you take two part-time, and again, I know some you said that they were over that. Is there enough work to keep 60 hours, keep them busy 60 hours a week, I guess, is what I'm saying? Because I don't want to do two part-time and then not have enough hours or pay in order to be able to do what they're supposed to be doing. See what I'm saying?
Yes, I appreciate that.
Really a 40 hours if we do two part-time versus 60 hours if we do the one full-time. And again, I know that varies from week to week.
So bearing in mind that if you reduce the full-time position to a part-time position, that will make Scott Bradley, the person who's in that position, a part-time county employee. My intention is to hire him as a part-time state lawyer as well, and he'll still be full-time. We won't be adding any hours. It'll be a net break-even. Does that make sense?
So when you say state lawyer, he would still be doing the same thing?
He'd still be doing exactly the same work. He would just be paid partly by the county and partly by the State Public Defender Commission.
Including benefits?
Pardon?
Including the benefits?
My understanding is that as a part-time county employee, he would lose his benefits. He would have to pick up state benefits as a part-time public defender.
Would he be able to pick up state benefits?
Yes. Largely. It's fairly equivalent. There is one other thing that I didn't know about until just a little while ago. The county, Faulkner County, courts and prosecutor's office have been talking about for some time now, about 2 years now, of going to the Saline County plan this is also complicated, but there are situations where a person is arrested by the police, but the prosecutor needs time to review the facts of the case to determine what, if anything, to actually charge that defendant with. So arrest is one thing, criminal charge is another thing. So there's a delay sometimes. If the person is in jail, if the person's arrested and is in jail, pending filing the charges, the state by law has 60 days to make a charging decision and act on it or release. If someone is not in jail, then the only limitation is speedy trial and the statute of limitations. So down in Saline County, everyone that's arrested and not in jail, there's not an immediate charging decision. They have them come back, I think, either weekly or every 2 weeks, and appear before the judge again, and the prosecutor announces whether they've made a charging decision or not. And if they haven't made a charging decision, they're given a new court date to come back on another day. So they do that in district court. They have prosecutors there, they have public defenders there, they've got non-attorney public defender staff there, and they have clerk's office staff there. Saline County, in order to make that work, has budgeted a support staff position for the public defender's office to be there and handle the public defender input, the non-representation input from the public defender's office in that process. They call it felony callback court. And they have a part-time public defender funded by the state, funded by Saline County as well to be there. I'm a little rusty on this because I did this about 2 years ago, went down there and studied what they were doing. So that's what I remember being 2 years ago. I've been informed that the county of Faulkner is going to institute that sometime in the next few months. And if that happens, I'm going to need some more help to staff that part of the felony callback court. But that's in the future. I don't know if that's going to happen. I've been informed that it is definitely going to happen, but I don't know when it's going to happen. It might be in 2 months, it might be in 6 months, it might be later than that. I just don't know. Now, if that happens, I'm going to need some more help. But right now, I've got sufficient personal resources to handle what we've got. Again, I'm not sure I've answered your question, or maybe I've gone above and beyond what you were asking me.
It's a little bit clearer than mud. So,
well, that's good. Muddy water.
Yeah, exactly. Barring any other questions or comments from the committee?
Good.
I would say let's go to part-time, especially if the state is going to pick him up and he's still going to be able to maintain his full-time hours.
Committee, any discussion?
Does that take his, does that green his budget if we only do 48,000?
So, Justice Meeks is, I think, recommending cutting the full-time position.
Oh, I thought
plus
okay.
All the benefits, too, because
yeah,
it's
plus
18.
Okay, I thought you said that. So, yeah, when would this start? Like, is this in 26, or?
When would
personnel
change?
Yes, when would the personnel change start?
Whenever the quorum court makes it happen.
And when
I can hold off hiring and a new person until I know if I'm going to be hiring Scott Bradley for a second part-time position or not. And when you say eliminating the full-time position, I hope you mean converting that to a part-time position, because just eliminating the full-time position would leave me somewhat short.
Yeah, that's, I mean, because your 90,000 is the two positions, that's what you're talking about, right?
Yes.
That's what I meant. Like, keep the 90,000 in there and get rid of the 75, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
When would you know about the state side of it, if he would be hired by the state?
Pretty much as soon as the position is open.
Okay.
It's been advertised. People have applied for it. I've interviewed for it. Mr. Bradley has applied for it. I've interviewed him for it. He's an internal hire. So once it's all done, if that's what we do, I should be able to get him hired and on board on the state side within 2 weeks or so. They don't start a new position in the middle of a pay period. So whenever the hiring decision is made, we have to wait until the beginning of the next pay period. And that might be 2 weeks. It might only be I'm speaking with such certainty about what happens at the Public Defender Commission and the status.
Justice Mosh, do you have a question?
I think it was just an answer.
Okay. Justice Coates?
I'm good.
Okay. Mr. Higgins, as being the one who helps me with all this, do you see any issue procedurally with what we're doing here?
I think just for Mr. Clemens' edification, probably the process we should have gone through is in November, run this through personnel and work out the details of moving the positions in, and then this body either appropriates it or not. I don't see a problem with begging forgiveness from the personnel committee and go ahead and hashing it out tonight like you're doing for the sake of getting the budget squared away.
Because he asked for a part-time position, he doesn't have to ask for another part-time position. He just has to have the funding for the part-time position. So his only thing was to zero out. And it was my understanding he was going to zero out his full-time position and ask for part-time positions. And if this starts sooner, he can go ahead and hire the person sooner, but he will have to come and transfer what he doesn't spend on the full-time in this year's budget to cover the part-time for the rest of the year, was my understanding of how it was going to kind of play out. But
and my policy on that would be to just do whatever Margaret tells me.
We do that a lot, too. Yeah. Good policy.
Not well sometimes.
Yes.
Mr. Bonas, do you or Mr. Bradley have any heartburn about doing this at all? Going to?
No. Okay. No. I will repeat. I am so grateful to the Corps for funding that full-time position and letting me. That's why I called. That's why I dropped a dime on myself when I had that position. I let Mr. Lehosky know. I let personnel know. So we let Margaret know, just so that it wouldn't be my decision to make. But I'm sanguine with it, whichever way the Corps decides to go.
Thank you.
So our amendment needs to be to take out 0 out 1 0 0 1, and leave everything else the same.
Yes.
What about the benefits? That would be paid for by the state, so everything else should be zeroed out except for part time salary.
Yeah, you'll zero out the health insurance, the $10,050, and
not the workers' comp,
but it. We can leave it alone, but it'll probably be a little less. So you're going to take out the life insurance and the dental and the vision. And the unemployment compensation will go down. But it just won't get spent.
That's fine. Yeah. Jessica, do you have that?
And the Social Security matching will go down as well.
So we can adjust that?
Yes.
So 1001 will go away, 1009 will go away, 1016 will go away, and 1019 will go away. Okay, I'd like to make a motion.
Okay, give me 1 second so I can give you another number before you make a motion, or two more numbers, okay? So 1006 Social Security matching will be $6,885. And retirement matching will be
$13,788. Okay. All right, I'd like to make a motion to zero out fund 1001. 1009, 1016, 1019, and amend line item 1006 to $6,885, and amend line item 1007 to $13,788.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, any discussion on the on this budget? All in favor of passing 1000.0417, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right.
I'd like to make a motion to put fund 3026.0417 on public defender investigator on the table for discussion.
Second.
All right, Mr. Clemens, we have a motion and a second. No discussion. You said, was there some confusion on this one too, or you got a story on this one?
Well, I received information that there was a question about that. Because it appears on the 2026 budget projections at the time, which I did not have at the time I submitted the budget, that the fund available balance was only $69,787.89. Talked to Mr. Sanson about it, he explained it to me, and that is, that's what remains. The money that we have in that fund is $151,000 and a little more. The $69,000 is subtracting the current budget, current year, 2025 budget, from the $151,000. That left $69,000. In point of fact, we have $151,000, not $69,000. So my budget request for the Public Defender Investigator Fund was $101,000. I missed that in my calculations. It should have been $136,000, but I don't want to change it now. Let's just go with it the way it is, if that's okay.
So
we have just $110,000.
$110,000, I'm sorry.
So just a question.
These don't work perfectly.
Just looking at our statement of operations through the end of October, and it says you haven't used any of that line item. Can you talk about when you use it, what's there for this budget?
The Public Defender Investigator Fund is a holdover from the time when counties funded their own public defender office, which was up until January of 1998. January of 1998, the state took over funding per staff and personnel of the public defender office statewide. The Public Defender Fund, which is Fund 3024, and the Investigator Fund, Fund 3026, are funded from filing fees and court costs. And the 3024 is also funded a little bit by bail bond fees, kickback. But the Fund 3026, the Public Defender Investigator Fund, doesn't generate enough income to hire an investigator. So money's accumulated in there and been lost, money's accumulated in there, been lost, and now it's accumulating and hopefully we can hang on to it. So my predecessors never budgeted that. So I budgeted in case I need it.
Yeah.
So that money is not allocated for a particular cause, but I have used it the last several years for different necessities. So it's there, it's budgeted for my office to use if we need it. But this year we haven't needed it, so then money's going to roll back in.
Perfect. I was just curious. Thank you.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Well, speaking of Mr. Flint, he was not going to spend any of that remaining budget that's out there for the rest of the year, and that's why we were able to increase his carryover.
Yep.
Thanks.
Just as any other discussion on the this budget.
So with his additional carryover, that projection should be okay.
Yes. Yeah, it got everything back in line.
Okay. Thank you.
Questions? All in favor of passing 3026.0417, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Mr. Clemens, are we got you all taken care of?
There's the 3024 budget.
I think we already passed that.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You're good.
Yeah, I think that one was good.
So I was brilliant in my previous appearance.
Thanks so much.
Thank you all very much. I'll be talking to Margaret, who will tell me what to do, and I will do it.
That's it.
Thank you very much.
I'd like to make a motion to put Fund 1000.083 Grants and Aid Social Services on the table for discussion.
Second.
All right, we've got a motion and a second for Grants and Aid Social Services. Justices, any questions? discussion. Jessica Cooks.
Mr. Clinton, what you just gave me was for the extension office budget or this?
No, extension office. It's 3440 when you get to it. I just want to make sure everybody has their hand.
Gotcha.
Discussion on the grants and aid social services.
I'm waiting to see if my other justices have any comments. I've made my feelings fairly clear.
I don't have any comments.
Obviously, I've been uncomfortable with the lack of transparency in some of these entities, particularly our county fair. With that being said, I in no way intend to take any money away from our kids, but I do request that not only our fair board, but the entities that are intertwined with that group increase their transparency. It is embarrassing that our fair board has been asked repeatedly for financial statements and refused to turn those in. With that being said, I have no other questions or no other amendments.
And for what it's worth, there's a statute that's a fairly new statute that says that all fair boards that receive funds from county government or use county facilities, which in this case it's more of a fund issue, shall submit financial, basically the financial records that they're going to submit to legislative audit before the quorum court. So there's a statute there, and I'll contact the fair board and make sure they're aware of that particular statute. And perhaps that might help assist them in providing the information. Of course, legislative audit operates usually a year behind. So, I mean, we're talking about, you know, if they submit anything to us, it would be a 2023 or 2024 financial statement. But I'll reach out to the Fair Board.
I believe that statute was included in my request, my written request.
Justice, any questions? All in favor of passing 1000.0803, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
I'd like to make a motion to put fund 3414.0806, the extension office, on the table for discussion.
Second.
All right, we got a motion and a second. Justices, what Mr. Sanson passed out, and I'm just going to kind of rehash a little bit of the process here. You know, we have our projected revenue for this fund that's based off of voluntary tax. A lot of the work that Mr. Sanson does is he's able to talk to the department heads and find out, you know, this is your budget today. What do you think you're not going to spend between now and the end of the year? They can look at their budget and help him come up with that. That first line is that fund balance and what we often call carryover. And so what he handed out was a sheet here with the amended carryover. What it really does is it puts their budget request in line with what's available to appropriate, which is really the main thing that we look for in that. Mr. Sanson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is actually an issue of when we first worked the carryover for the October 31st budgets. I had worked through September 30th. This is through October 31st, so the last little bit of ad valorem tax come in. That was the issue. And with voluntary tax, I don't assume anything. Our voluntary tax, as you'll know, is down from where it was, and it's continuing to fall. But it will put them, they did have enough voluntary tax this time to over the amount that they were asking.
Perfect. Perfect. Thank you. Ms. Mary Beth, you got anything you want to tell us? Or are you good?
I'm good.
All right.
If you got questions, I'm here.
Justice, any questions on this extension office budget? All in favor of passing 1,000.
Hey, Tom?
Yes.
Hold on.
Yeah, okay.
No, you're good. Mr. Chair, we need to make a couple adjustments to 3020. We need to increase that one to 1,500. And then 3022, there's no no anything in that, we can increase that to 600, and there still should be funds to cover that.
Justice, do I have a motion?
Make a motion to amend fund 3020 to $1,500 and 3022 to $600.
Second.
Any discussion on the motion? All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Any discussion back on the budget? All in favor of passing fund 3414.0806, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Scott. I'd like to make a motion to put fund 1000.0500, Office of Emergency Management, on the table for discussion.
Second.
All right. From what I understand here, I mean, we're just missing the overtime line item. This is in line. The amount put in here is in line with the amount that was spent this year in that overtime line item, although it exists in a different kind of budget this year, but that's in line with what we spent this way. Any discussions? Any discussion? All in favor of passing 1,000.0500, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
I'd like to make a motion to put fund 3008.0600 on the table for discussion, which is the county library.
Second. All right. We have a motion in a second. Any discussion? If you'll remember, we amended a couple of line items as suggested by Mr. McGraw to get us in line with our projections. Mr. McGraw?
I don't know if this helps either, but when Scott and I talked about probable carryovers in September, I think I said 450, and this morning looking at it with 7 weeks left, I'm looking at probably at least 600,000 carryover unspent from this budget year.
Okay. Thank you.
Tom, I would add, I believe we came off 455, I believe we knocked off. I'd be saying that he's got another 145, you can add 145 to that carryover.
That'll work. That'll work. Okay. Justice, any questions? All in favor of passing 3008.0600, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Thank you, Mr. McGraw.
I'd like to make a motion to put fund 3400.0520 on the table for discussion or emergencies form.
Second.
All right, we've got a motion and a second. Any discussion?
Again, I asked several questions Tuesday night. I had several concerns after speaking with Chief Deputy Woolley. He has approved this budget, is my understanding. And I am comfortable with it.
All right. Thank you, Jessica. All in favor of passing 3400.0520, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Thank you, gentlemen.
I'd like to make a motion to put fund 3049.0117, County Clerk, on the table for discussion.
Second.
This one's a good call. We have a motion and a second on the discussion. I think we just left this one out of the first round, didn't we?
Yeah, we left it out, but it looks like I am over projections by $2,500. And so I'm going to ask to reduce my postage down to $500, so I'll be within the projections.
I'm sorry, Margaret, did we not update that?
No, but it's okay. I'm I didn't have the update in front of me, so I didn't see it.
I don't have that in front of me. Somebody
what is the projections?
Yeah.
What is the number?
3049.
Yeah. 3049 is fund balance at zero.
Yeah. Yeah. What's that
projected as at 35,000.
Yeah, that should have been 40. That projected revenue should be 40,000. Sorry about that. I thought I had it updated.
Okay, so So if he changed the projections to 40, then I can keep it the same and keep an eye on it.
Because even with 10%, we're talking for 36, which would still be 2,000 over.
Which is still, you're still 2,000 over 40. Oh, yeah, 10% hold back.
Okay. That
should be 2,000 under.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
And Mark may have already spoken to you about this. This is a new fund created to the legislature.
It's a new fund, so it's not new money. I've been getting the money. It's just part of the, not part of, but the passport money is going to go into its own fund. So it's going to reduce my other fund and just getting the split. And so I'm a little nervous about it. So if y'all want to reduce it down to the 500 for this year, and that way we get an idea of what's going on, I can cover it in my other two budgets. So I might be more comfortable reducing it to the 500.
So, Mr. Chair, if I could, because yes. I'm new at this.
Yeah.
If we project money and it's not there, do we come back and have to do it later on? Or do they just not get to spend it? How does that work?
So the projections sheet, I would say this is really just for our data and our planning. Is that right, Scott? Like, it's really what we appropriate and the amount of money that comes in that is looked at.
Right. Yeah. So this is a guess on this projection, right? So we're just looking at last year's projections that Margaret got into that county recorder's cost fund. Is it recorder's cost fund? County recorder's cost fund. And estimated what we're going to get this year. We don't know for sure. You know, like all this other stuff is a guess, but there will be no carryover at this point. They've separated that, acceptance. It's called acceptance fee. It's called passport acceptance facility fee, I believe.
Yes.
Fund, so it's just a separating out the fund into a different. I mean, separating out monies into a different fund. It's no new money. Nothing really changes other than the fund you put it in.
You would like to amend that still?
Yes, if you don't mind, please.
I'd like to make a motion to amend line item 3021 to $500.
Second.
Any discussion on the motion? All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Any more discussion on the budget?
So I guess back to my original question, I guess. If we appropriate and the projection is not there, do they just not spend it, or do we, as the Quorum Court, have to come back and amend their budget lower?
Let's say it's not.
How does that work?
I mean, you're saying if the funds are not there, can they spend them?
We're rejecting $35,000 if they only get
$25,000.
Yeah.
They can only spend what they have. The only time that you can spend money that is not there is a grant.
Right, because of the reimbursement.
Okay,
thank you.
And we have some other funds that run negative too, but they're covered by county general or apportionment funds or that type of thing. So, but when you have a special revenue fund like this right here, you cannot spend more than any revenue. Okay.
While we just appropriate the funds and they spend them, I think there's a lot that goes on that they do behind the scenes to make sure that the money is there before it's spent. Yeah.
Thank you for the clarification.
Thank you. Any questions, Justices? All in favor of passing 3049.0117, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
I'd like to make a motion to put Fund 3027.0408 District Court Probation Fees on the table for discussion.
Second.
All right. Mr. Hogue, thank you for joining us again.
Hello.
Good to see you. Back again in the courtroom.
Yes. First time I've been here in a long time. This is Ms. Hammerlake. She's here to answer questions. I'm here to look good.
You're doing a fine job.
Thank you.
Really, what we come across in our district court probation fees budget here is that our amount that's available to appropriate is $68,000 and some change, and the budget request is $100,000. Yeah.
I'm sorry to interrupt.
That's fine.
Mr. Sampson is going to go work on this. He wants to do a quick update.
Okay.
We can go this way and come back to it.
Yeah,
we're good.
Let me
just work
on
that.
That's fine. Yeah, thank you.
I'm going to stay and watch a little bit longer.
All right.
We're going to hold on to that for just a few minutes.
Yeah, withdraw
the motion of 3027.0408 We're going to table that for the time being.
Mr. Murphy, the primary motioner, can withdraw their motion without a second. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Thanks, sir. I'd like to make a motion to put fund 1000.0604, the museum, on the table for discussion.
Second.
All right. Let's see. I believe. Yes, in Fund 1000.0604, what you'll see if you look at the next budget as well is that is exactly what we talked about in our last meeting. We are removing all the appropriation that they have out of County General and putting it back into their specialty fund that they have. Any questions on that? All in favor of passing 1000.0604, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right.
I'd like to make a motion to put Fund 3401.0604 in the museum on the table for discussion.
Second.
All right. We've got a motion and a second. And basically, if y'all remember your remember our conversation from the other night, there is no intention on paying the full-time salary for the museum coordinator at least through the end of June. So that's going to remove $22,000 from that. And then, as well, this entire amount is going to be can be fixed on our projection sheet as carryover as well. So that's going to increase their available to appropriate, and that will resolve the deficit on the projection sheet. Does that make sense? Awesome. Any questions, any discussion on this one? All in favor of passing 3401.0604, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
I'd like to make a motion to put Fund 3006.0120 County Reporter's Cost on the table for discussion.
You've already done that one.
We're done.
You did it first.
I did it first. Okay.
That's that. So what we will do is we'll start my review discussion here, and then when Mr. Sampson gets back with district probation fees, we'll get that one taken care of. Justice, here's what I'm going to direct you to is your projections sheet. I'm going to mainly talk about County General, but I mean, that you know, that's the one we keep an eye on. That's where that money is that kind of, you know, floats around out there, and anyone can get their hands on it if they want to, so we pay attention to it really closely. If you look at your projection sheet, and let's go down to our total projected revenue, it's kind of right there above C, $16,212,000 is our total projected revenue. What I really try to do, and what I think we try to do all the time, is keep that in line with, keep our expenses under our revenue. Right, because we know we've got money to save. We know we've got projects. We know we've got things to take care of. We know we need to save money. We can't spend every dime we've got coming in. So when you come over here and you look at our budget request of $16,443,000, and you say, well, hang on a second, that's higher than our projected revenue. So what we take into account there are numerous things. Number one, we have $190,000 in capital improvements purchasing, so one-time purchases. And so I always subtract the capital improvement out of that number, and because we can apply that to carryover, because we carry over money every year that's not spent in County General over to the next year. And in my mind, we can use that money for one-time purchases. You don't want to use carryover money for recurring purposes, right, because it's not always guaranteed to be there. We also have an additional $100,000 or more in our election. That's a one-time cost every other year that we have to bear. So that gives us $390,000 so far. And then we also just cut about $100,000 out of our public defender budget. I mean, really close to almost 16 million flat. I haven't done the exact numbers on it, but another thing to call out here is right under that total projected revenue is the amount of money that we transfer and continue to transfer every year into our capital improvement fund. That's always been a priority of the court. If we have not continued to do that, we would not be building the jail today, or be preparing to build the jail. Like we've said before, it's a pretty big deal that we're able to build a $20 million jail without raising taxes on anyone. So it's because we've continued to hold back that $1 million that we can do projects like that. There's another thing I want to point out. When you look at your recommended fund reserve, one of the top columns and go down, the state requires a 10% holdback on everything. So if we, you can see here, we project that our total funds available are going to be $19 million and some change, and so that fund reserve is going to be $2.3 million. Is what we do for County General, and this was a practice established. Mr. Higgins would have to educate us when it was established, but because we're all fiscal conservatives, most of us, it's 12% instead of 10%. It's not a big number. 2% is not huge, but it gives us extra wiggle room if things get tight and we ever need to utilize it for anything, but that's something that the court has continued to hold on to as long as I've been here. There have been tight years where we fought over the million and we fought over the 12% instead of 10%, but we've kind of held on to it, and I think we're well off. I think we're better off in doing so. Another thing we haven't talked a lot about in the budget, but is that we've applied a 3% cost of living adjustment all throughout all of our budgets to our employees. We fought the battle back in the lean years of 2015, 2016, all that kind of stuff, where we were 0, 0, 0, 1%, 0.5%, you know. And in the big years, we got caught up, and now we're able to kind of smooth that ship out and get on a steady COLA that we should really be on, and that trends today with CPI numbers. Cost of living adjustment is something we can argue over. It's something we can change. It's not set in stone, but it's in the budgets that you passed today. And quorum court passed, the Budget and Finance Committee would pass the cost of living adjustment, only for it to be amended when we got to full court, because we're only 5 of the 13. Anyways, I think that's all my monologue. I just wanted to touch on those, what I consider to be important points that we continue to do every year on the capital improvement fund. I think I went down this rabbit hole. 0.9 mils today is about 1.7 million, and we've pulled back 1 million, kind of that the Coral Court approved a long time ago for building that criminal justice building. Any questions or comments or anything else like that on the budget?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for educating me throughout this whole process. Yeah. I appreciate it. I think one thing that we have to look as we go forward is how we at least fill the slots in the jail, because obviously if we're building a new jail, we're going to have to have people to man it. And I don't know how soon, you know, we're going to actually build it and all that, but would like us, as we go forward, to figure out how we can, you know, properly get the personnel that we need, and then look at what we can do to make sure that we have enough deputies in our county as we are Grover County.
Yep.
Mr. Chair, I can help with a little bit of that for
yep.
Justice Meeks, because he wasn't on the court when a lot of the jail design was put into effect. I will say we did bid openings today. Should have a bid tab on it early next week to see how close we are into the money, but it did look good as we were just doing some number crunching on the notepad today. Hopefully we can have groundbreaking before the end of the year. But the new facility is designed to hold 256 prisoners, and it will replace Unit 1, which is designed to hold 218, I believe, but it regularly holds 118. That's part of the reason we're always overcrowded. But the goal is to be able to transition from Unit 1 to Unit 2 with better than 50% increase in capacity without adding headcount. Now, we know that there will be a transitionary period, and we'll have to work with the Sheriff's Office to make that transition. But the new design is designed to be more efficient in how they have their manpower to man the same amount of safety, the same amount of protocols and all that, but with the same headcount that we're currently using in Unit 1. So our goal, and we're working towards it hard, is not to have to come back in the end of 3.5 to 4 years of that project and say, hey, we need 15 more people, we need 5 more people. The goal is not to have to hire any.
But that still would leave us 10 short because what they said before was that we're 10, approximately 10 short on our
current vacant. That's right, in the position. But I mean, I actually speaking to additional new positions.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, that's the Sheriff's Office problem to fill those positions.
And Justice Mates, one of the things that Chief Deputy Woolley and I have been in discussion with a couple of different times is a new program that would start in our high schools, kind of like the JAG program or some of those career-based programs for first responders and law enforcement officers. So a lot of times our jail employees can move into those deputy positions, but you can't be a deputy until you're 21, correct? But you can work in the jail at 18. And so if we can start some of that foundation in when the kids are still in high school, once they do turn 18 and graduate, we can start the transitions. But that's something that is just in the discussion phases at this point. It's going to be a little bit of legwork. So we hope to put that on our project list this next year.
Absolutely. I'd like to be a part of it.
Thank you for your question. Justice, any other discussion? Are we ready for district court probation?
They just did that.
No.
They're looking to see where maybe they've got some corporation this year that they can not use.
Okay.
Not
I understand.
That they cannot use, but they are not going to use.
Yes, yes.
And I don't know that you're going to get to your number, but you're going to get closer.
Okay.
You guys good? Sure. Yeah. There you go.
All right. Jessica, so we have a motion.
I'd like to make a motion to put fund. I'd like to make a motion to put fund 3027.0408 on the table for discussion.
Sorry.
All right. What do you think?
Do y'all want me just go through here of what we can cut?
Yeah, that'll work. Yeah.
Okay. So on the 2007, and this is what we're cutting to the end of the year. So $500.
You're cutting 500?
Mm-hmm.
But you're talking about this year's budget.
Just this year's budget.
So those are carryover numbers, basically.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so not 2026 budget.
Yeah. Right, this is on 2025. So we're
So the numbers that you're saying, are they numbers, like you said, $500? You anticipate to carry over $500?
You might get some.
You're anticipating to not spend $500?
Right.
Okay.
If you've got a total.
That's understandable.
What's the period?
Okay.
Yeah, do you have a total?
The original total was 1,000. Oh, the total for all of this?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's fine. Look at, yeah, go ahead.
Do you mean just keep going through them? Or do you want to...
No, that's fine. Okay. We'll just give you time to add them up.
Okay,
we'll do that.
Calculator.
That would be so good.
Mr. Hogue, I may ask you a question right now.
Yes.
District court probation fees generally. Can you talk about the revenue source for that, maybe? If you know anything about it, what that means?
You want to do
that? I'm sorry, I didn't want to distract you.
No, you're fine. You're fine. I will tell you this total real fast. The total was $3,571.
Now I see the question.
And they come from when our probationers are put on probation, they have to pay probation fees.
Okay.
And that's where the money comes from on probation fees, is people on probation.
Okay. Okay. Is there...
That's not something that's generally going to pay for itself.
That's what I was kind of getting to.
That's what I felt you getting there.
Yeah, it's honestly, it's, you know, it's to keep the public safe and to give people, you know, to have some somebody observing them and keep it. But yes, it's definitely not a money maker at all. So.
I wish they could run that like a business and bring in the income and expend the outgo, but that's not how that's built to work.
Who sets the fees? Is that the state?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Sanson.
Mr. Chair, we are a little, I don't want to say concerned, but not 100% sure how the revenue is going to work out for 2026 as well. With the new change of the new admin of justice, you know, we're not paying the district judge's salary, and there's a new kind of split between the cities and the county on this.
Okay.
It's complicated as admin of justice reimbursement is.
Yeah.
It's just about the fact that there's strangers across the state right now trying to figure it out. And I'm on the losing end of it, I think. But we feel the projected revenue, I feel good about it. I'm very conservative on it.
Okay.
But it's just kind of one of those deals where we're just going to have to kind of hold our breath for a year and see kind of what works out. And I hate to beat on that to anybody because it's what they are.
Apparently where we are.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because I really don't see, even if you cut everything below the line, we're still in a situation.
It's being suggested to me that we could approve this and visit it halfway through the year.
Okay. Yeah, we've done that.
That would be great.
We've done that before.
Yeah.
Okay. Justices, any questions?
I guess this goes back to my other question from the other thing. If they don't have the money, they can't spend it. If they're not getting the revenue, projected revenue, are they not going to be able to pay the person that's...
That's another issue. It's, you know, and the thing about projected revenue is... Expenses are over your revenues early in the year, kind of a cash flow issue. We really run into some trouble there, too. You know, that's really up to the court if they want to fund it somewhere else until they can catch up or kind of how that goes. District court, typically the funds come in pretty steady. It's not like your annual tax where it's all backloaded at the end. So,
yes, our accounting girl is wonderful.
they're pretty consistent throughout the year. So it's not a cash flow issue as far as on the revenue side. I just don't know about on the expenditure side. They've got a lot of expenses in the first of the year versus the back of the year. I can look at numbers and see what's happened before, but I really can't project that in the future.
And I can say something for next year on the 30 on the travel line. It says 10,000. Is that one on? Okay,
yeah.
So we have a grant. They actually sent the check for this year to the city police, so I've got to get that right over. We have a grant that pays for that. So we technically could take any kind of travel or anything like that. We could reduce that. Yeah, on the travel one.
Justice, do we have a motion? It says, so just a question. It says this year y'all spent about $4,400 out of your travel line item through October. So that stuff that you spent that the grant did not cover?
I'm not sure about that.
That's fine. Do you suggest we zero that line item out or leave a little bit in there? What do you think on that?
Probably if we could just leave maybe $1,000 or $2,000 just to have it just in case we need it. Typically what it is we have sobriety court. We take a big go to a conference once a year And so that's where a bulk of our budget, but we have a grant that, and we also, Margaret created a budget line for, we created a budget line for that, so
okay.
That's in its separate budget.
So you want to amend line item 3030 to $2,000?
Yes, that would work.
Under drug testing, it says you spent $6,000, but yet you have $2,000 for 26. Is that just because you anticipate more drug tests, or
they feel like they're increasing by the week? I feel like people on probation is increasing by the week. So
but don't they pay for the drug tests, or
oh no,
they don't.
No.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you guys have to
we pay for the drug gotcha. Test. Yes.
Okay.
And they get pretty pricey. I won't get into all the specifics of drug testing, but
I'm just
sometimes we go through several, yes.
What fat would be cut, I didn't know what that was.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's another thing. If we could revisit it in the mid-year, that's something that we definitely can look at anything. Yeah.
Okay.
Jessica, did you have a question?
That's
fine.
I'm just going to agree. Okay, I'd like to make a motion to amend line item 3030 to $2,000.
Second.
Any discussion on the motion? All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, Justice, like I said, we'll go with what we have here, and we'll revisit halfway through the year and see. Ms. Higgins, your mic is green.
I guess the comment that I would make at this point, Mr. Chair, is if we cut everything below the line, I'm not saying that's realistic.
Yeah. We're still not there.
And that picked us up to 23,000. And then if they were able to make cuts this year, they got them to $10,000 extra carryover. That would save the employees, but that would leave them zero. So I'm not sure if that's a realistic option. I'm just saying in the real world, that's what would need to be done.
Is this the only probation officer we have?
We have two probation officers that are in our, and we had a part-time position, but we wiped that away this last year. So.
And this says that this is pays for it looks like 2/3 of a probation officer.
1/3 out of county general.
Okay, and the other
yes,
and the other full probation officer is out of county general.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So you're 4/3.
What budget is that out of? I don't expect to know.
Which county general budget?
Yeah.
1,000
We have to have the probation officers. We can't do our job without them.
I agree. Okay.
So, Mr. Chair, we have another option.
Okay.
If we want to tap into it.
Okay.
Are we there? So we received for the change in the state law that we do not have to pay for district judge salaries anymore. The state picks up all that.
Okay.
So we actually this year picked up $30,000 back into county general.
Okay.
Are we,
so
I think there was, we're having a sidebar here.
Yeah.
chastising me.
I'm not chastising. Yes, we do not have to pay district judges' salaries anymore, but what I'm afraid of is in this new split that we're going to lose not only that $29,000 that we're paying, but possibly more.
Okay.
That's what I was talking about the revenue.
Okay.
Possibly we should. I would not count that $29,000 as money saved.
Okay. And the new split means that we are receiving less as a county when it comes to district court?
Let me say, I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah.
Yes, I do believe it's less. I don't know what percentage.
And it sounds to me like this is going to come to a arguing point with the city over who's going to foot the bill for district court.
Cities.
Exactly. Right. Cities.
It will not be my argument.
I understand.
So, Chairman, for clarification's sake, after taking up the trap, how much are we left with? $2,100 with?
The red? 22. Okay. I've got about 3,000 more to carry over, so it takes down 26,000 or so.
Okay.
Now, total shortfall is 34,134.
I guess we can do as suggested. We can pass this, keep an eye on it. We know you can't spend more than what you have, but we can revisit after the end of the year when we know what our carryovers are and they're all solid up. Good.
Yes, sir. I would just, if we're going to do this and we're worried about cash flow, then it needs to be watched month over month to see what. Just to make sure the cash is there. Because I don't think they have that much carryover.
Yeah.
Maybe to about 29,000.
Scott.
Mr. Chair, we could really revisit this in March when we know the actual carryover number. We'll have a carryover in March that we always do. We'll have a for sure number at that point. Hopefully, we have better payroll revenue projection at that point, too. And I can adjust those.
More than we'll be glad to come back.
Judge Hogue, do y'all know?
It's Hammerlink.
Do y'all know how much y'all receive from the other cities at all? Do y'all have budgets given to you from the other cities, or how does that even work?
I work with the city of Conway. As far as the other ones, our accountant, she would know all of that information.
Okay. I didn't really expect you to know that.
Well, you would have been impressed if I would have.
Okay, Justices, I think we can try to pass it with the amendment and revisit in March, like Mr. Sampson suggested, and then eventually we'll argue with the cities about this. Justice Coates, the original motion.
Change the
3-0. We have motion and pass. The amendment on the change. Now it's on the budget as amended. And I guess we've already made motion, so I'm just asking if there's any more discussion.
It comes through. It goes through automatically and you've earned it, you have to be paid it.
All in favor of 3027.0408, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Thank you.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you all very much.
You're not in the pool.
Anything else to come before a budget finance committee? I think all intentions are to present this budget to the full court Tuesday night for passage, along with the ordinance that we passed Tuesday night, the regular appropriation ordinance that we passed Tuesday night.
Mr. Chair,
yes.
I would like to commend the committee for their hard work.